Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler Thomas, and I'm joined today with Pastor Jason Atwood, pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. And Pastor, I got to say, it's good to be back doing the podcast and just getting ready for Sunday tomorrow.
It is. Looking forward to the Lord's Day. And some weeks we do a few in advance for those of you who are listening. And so we don't always record every week, but when we do, it's always good to be back in the studio and talking to each other and talking to you listeners as well.
So today we're going to be tackling a topic that I think is very important for a lot of people, especially in the Salt Lake City and kind of Utah area. And I really hope that if you're listening today, you listen with an open mind, actively seeking truth, and know that we're not attacking anyone personally, but we're trying to help people see the truth that the Bible shows us and really what God says about the world. So we've titled this episode today, Is Mormonism Christianity?
Along the lines of attacking people, many times, you know, in religion and as far as the Bible goes, we're so quiet on what does the truth say when it goes against a known other belief.
Yeah.
But if we don't stand for anything, do we believe anything?
Right.
And so that's a question we have to ask. You're absolutely right. Nobody's being attacked, but we're stating what is truth and we're stating who we are and what we believe. And in doing that, yes, there will be some that see that we don't agree with them or believe them. And we titled the episode this morning, Is Mormonism Christianity? Because that's what you'll hear a lot, that it is. And you'll hear from very well-meaning people who are part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, that they are a Christian religion, when in fact they do not believe in the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. So we're going to try to highlight some of those differences today and to do the best we can. This is obviously can't be an exhaustive expose on what we believe versus what Mormonism teaches, but we're going to do our best this morning to hit some of the highlights.
Yeah. And so, really, I think the key part that defines what is Christianity and what we really believe in, there are many doctrines that come from the Word of God that we include in our belief set. But fundamentally, we believe in who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross. Now, Jesus' identity is probably the most, if not like side by side with what he did, the most important thing to understand and to put your faith in. And so if we look at the Bible and see what Jesus says about himself, we can look at John 14:6. Jesus talking to his disciples says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's a very exclusive statement Jesus is making here. And one that is wholly defined in the person that he reveals himself to be.
You know, if Jesus, and I heard this for the first time when I went to Bible college over 20 years ago, but it stuck with me because it's such a powerful statement. If Jesus is not who he said he was, and if he didn't do what he said he did, he is a lunatic and a madman, right? He's not just a good person. He has to be, based upon his claims, he has to be exactly who he said he was, the Son of God, and do what he said he did, or everything is out the door, and
right,
everything is out the window.
Right.
So you're exactly right. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and that is true, or it's not. So
yeah,
we have a choice to make.
And really, a lot of different belief sets have a historical figure, Jesus, that they identify.
Right.
But the problem is most of them that aren't Bible, well, I guess everyone that isn't Bible-believing Christianity gets the who of Jesus wrong. And so you can say, oh, I put my faith in Jesus. But if you're not talking about the same Jesus who is the Son of God, who was the sinless, fully God and fully man person who walked this earth, who was born of a virgin, who died on a cross, and we'll get into all of that in a minute here, then you're not actually putting your faith in the Jesus that leads to salvation. So as we get into some of the aspects of who Jesus is, we're just going to read straight from the Bible in the plain words that God has preserved for us to see today revealing who Jesus is. So I think the first one we have listed here is, most importantly, he is God.
Absolutely. John 1:1 is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and that's a capital W, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say the same was in the beginning with God. So we know the Bible identifies Jesus as God. He is not a created being. And many religions will teach that today. Like you said, they believe in a historical figure named Jesus, but they do not believe what the Bible says about Jesus, that he was in the beginning with God. He is God. And so there's that aspect there, certainly, as we see that in John 1:1 highlights that.
And I think, you know, Satan uses our limited understanding as material, finite, created beings to sort of take our lack of understanding and use that against us in our faith, right? How many false belief systems out there have struggled at the point at John 1:1 to the point where even Jehovah's Witnesses have just retranslated it to mean something else entirely, or they hand wave over it because they don't want to address the fact that God is transcendent. He is above our limitations, and he's made his existence known through the evidence that he's left on this earth, through his word, through the law written on our hearts. And so if you can put your trust and know that God is the all-powerful God who created essentially everything out of nothing, it's not impossible to believe for 1 minute that God has more to who he is than we can comprehend in this world as we are.
Yeah. And it goes back to even our last episode, Yea Hath God Said. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil is always getting people to doubt God's word. And just what it says, plain and simple, John 1:1, take it at face value.
Yeah.
The Bible says Jesus is God. He wasn't created. He was there in the beginning, before there was a beginning, and that's it. The Bible says it, and that settles it.
And we can look at more passages just to really reinforce this idea. If we go to Colossians 2:9, Paul is telling the church at Colossae, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And again, you know, we are material beings. It's sometimes it can be difficult because we can't paint an accurate metaphor. Our analogies will always fall short of who God is, right? God uses pictures in the world to point us to him, but nothing on this earth is as great as he is. And then we can look again at John chapter 8. Here's Jesus in his own kind of declaration to the Pharisees. He's saying to the Pharisee, the Pharisee leaders, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus is declaring that he's there with Abraham. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that is the...
I love that passage of Scripture, John 8, 56 and 58. Those two words, I am. Mm-hmm. And that harkens back to Exodus. When Moses asked, you know, if Pharaoh asked, who sent me? Who do I say? And God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. And immediately when Jesus said, I am, the Bible talks about, if you read further in John 8 there, that they picked up stones and desired to kill him.
Right.
They knew what he was claiming.
Right, exactly.
So again, it goes back to either it was truth in his claims, or we have to say that he was a liar and he was a crazy man.
Right, exactly. And just one more passage. There are other passages that talk about and point to the deity of Christ, but just one more that's, again, very plain, simple language here. In John 20, verse 28, you know, we see Thomas, and he calls Jesus my Lord and my God, just right there, right in front of him. And I think he goes later on to even make the distinction that there are different personages, right? There is the Word who became mm-hmm. flesh, and there is the Father. They are distinct persons, but they are God.
Sure. Yeah, the Bible clearly teaches the aspect and the understanding of the Trinity of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something we can't fully understand, how that God can be one yet three distinct persons. But all throughout the Scriptures, we see that. And again, they weren't each individually created differently. They're not separate gods. The Bible teaches a monotheistic God. There is one God and one creator, but Thomas obviously made that declaration there, and it's recorded for us in scriptures that Jesus was his Lord and his God. And Mary also, she also made the same claims as well, that talked about Jesus being her Savior and her God. So, number one, we see that he is God. He wasn't a created being. He didn't arise and come up to the status of God throughout the ages and throughout time. So he is God. The Bible makes that clear. But secondly, let's talk about that he's the creator of all things. I remember one time I had a dear man, and he wound up accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But he was raised and spent quite a bit of time in the Jehovah's Witness religion. And he believed that Jesus, and he was taught that Jesus wasn't the creator of all things, but he was a created being. And he would point to several passages. I remember one passage in Proverbs that he would point to where it talked about that, it said something to the effect that, God had created it or created him. And he believed that that was, and he was taught that that was referring to Jesus, that God had created him or it. And very clearly, though, I showed him in context that that was talking about wisdom, that wisdom was created by God and from God, not Jesus. Jesus wasn't created by God.
It's funny how pronouns and identifiers mm-hmm. like that, out of context, you can sure, you can make yeah. them, you know, say anything. Yeah. But, you know, along that lines, he is the creator of all things. We can go back to John chapter 1. It's right there, right next to John 1, 1 and 1, 2. We have John 1, 3. All things were made by him. This is, you know, going back to the Word, who both was with God and was God. And without him was not anything made that was made. And this is parallel to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So you can only draw the logical conclusion there that if the Word of God made all things and God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, the Word is God.
Mm-hmm. You know, John brings to light that the divinity of Jesus. Matthew, you know, addresses Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But John is a powerful book, how that John reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And so, yeah, John 1:3, all things were made by him. Who's him? The Word, capital W. And without him was not anything made that was made. So identifies him as God there in John 1:3, and then connecting him in Genesis 1:1. We also see that Jesus, although he is God, he's the creator of all things, we also see the aspect that he became flesh. And we understand that teaching and that word as the incarnation of God. That word incarnate means in the flesh. And so the Bible talks about that he was born of a virgin. And all the way back in Isaiah, hundreds of years prior to that, it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. He would be robed in flesh, 100% God, but yet still 100% man. And being able to minister to people, Hebrews talks about that he is our high priest that is not that was able to go through the temptations and all the things that we face, yet without sin, and gave us that example for that.
And being tempted like us, he was able to identify with the human race. He was able to be our representative, yet he lived a life without sin. He stood on the scripture. He followed the law. And by then offering himself as that perfect sacrifice on the cross, sinless, the spotless lamb, he paid for our sins, past, present, and future. Like the redeeming power of the cross here is not a, you know, what you might call what a Mormon might look at as like a discounted salvation. Mm-hmm. This is salvation paid in full once you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. Before he gave up his last breath on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And if you look at the Greek word there, tetelestai, really the implication is it has been paid in full. Mm. And if we look into the first epistle of John, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, we're told, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." What Jesus did, his finished work on the cross, is just that. It's It's a complete forgiveness of your sins. It is the provision that God has given us that man might have fellowship with God.
Amen. And we certainly, love the Word of God, love the teaching of the Word of God that shows us that Jesus paid for our sin on the cross once and for all. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. This morning, as you're listening, or today, wherever you find yourself, and wherever this podcast finds you, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And it doesn't matter what you've been raised in, what type of church you identify with, what the label is. When it all comes down to it, may I ask you this morning as you're listening, today as you're listening, wherever it is, whenever it is, what are you going to do about your sin? Because that's ever before us.
Yeah.
What is man going to do about his sin? And it's either boils down to you're going to try to gain merit with God by your good works, or you will accept the total propitiation for sins that Jesus paid for on the cross, 100% and total. And with that, you have to believe he is who he said he is.
You know, it's not about what church you go to. It's not about, you know, what works have you done. It really is about putting your faith in who Jesus is and what he did for you. And the spiritual birth, the good works will come as the fruit of that. Let's briefly go through, based on what we've just talked about, what the Bible says about who Jesus is, and just kind of compare some of the teachings from the Mormon church leadership, what they put on kind of their statement of faith theologically. First and foremost, the biggest issue here is the Church of Mormon teaches that Jesus is not God. And like we've seen very clearly in Scripture, Jesus is in fact God. He tells us that. He shows us that. They also teach that Jesus is a sort of spirit brother to Lucifer, actually, in a sense, conceived in more of a natural way alongside Lucifer, as if they were siblings on the opposite spectrum of good and evil.
Mm-hmm. And now, let me interrupt you for a minute here before we continue going through the different beliefs that the Mormon church or someone who is brought up in that religion believes versus what the Bible says. You know, when you speak of the Mormon church teaches that Jesus is not God, you know, many times when we witness to people that are Mormons and part of the church there, they would say when, you know, oh, we, and they bring Jesus in a positive light. So how would you kind of address that, and what would they bring to light?
Yeah, in my experience, you know, they do say that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus just paid for sins, at least in part, is what they'll kind of come back and try to explain to me that they believe that. However, they focus on this idea that Jesus is the Son of God in the same sense that we're sons to our fathers, right? They focus on this sonship aspect of Jesus without taking into the whole counsel of the Word of God that he is in fact God.
So they make that, they try to make a delineation between Jesus the Son and God the Father,
right?
And make a separation there, where in the Bible he's one, as we've shown in the Bible. And I know they make an emphasis on our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And yeah. And sadly, you know, we're taught to pray that in Scriptures, our Father which art in heaven. We're given that model of a prayer. So if you're a Bible believing Christian listening today, don't let that scare you from using that terminology. And
right.
I think we see that a little bit, especially where we are today. So I still speak of our Heavenly Father because he is my Heavenly Father. I'm not gonna allow them to rob that blessing for me,
right?
Just because they separate Jesus not being God and just speak of him as the Son of God,
right? Exactly, and that's kind of a common thing that we'll see, whether it's in Mormonism or in other belief systems, is they'll adopt terminology that sounds mm-hmm. kind of Christian.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I've seen a lot more of this in kind of the progressive liberalization of if you can even call it Christianity anymore. Is they'll use some of the similar terminology, and they'll just ever so slightly change the meaning, and they'll say, "Oh, you believe in, you know, XYZ." So yeah, I do. But then what they're actually thinking of is totally not what the doctrine,
right,
you know, out of the Bible is.
It's important to define terminology and to still use biblical terminology, whether it be the word redemption, sanctification. There's a large getting away today in churches, and they don't want to use doctrinal terminology, and that's really hurt us in the long run, because we don't use the words that the Bible uses and scripturally define them.
So if you are in the LDS Church, if you're raised on Mormon doctrine, and you haven't really taken the time to deeply look at your convictions and why you believe what you believe, maybe you've been going along because your family is this way, and this is kind of the church you were raised in, and you like the community, take a moment and compare the teachings of your church and of your your friends and your various church leaders. I'm not sure the formal titles you give them, and compare them to just what does the Bible say. And we talk about that a lot here, because really in the end, the Word of God is the final authority for faith, for practice, for life. And if you're doing anything contrary to the Word of God, especially if you're believing in a gospel different than the one revealed in the Bible, then you're in a position judicially with God where you are not saved, you're not justified, and you only have this life to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I do exhort, please earnestly look at your Bible, read the scripture, and make sure that you're comparing what you're hearing from your teachers and from your family with what saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they'll use the Book of Mormon as a later up-to-date prophecy of the Bible, but when you compare the two, they don't match at all.
No.
It's not like something that's coming alongside of the Bible and supplementing it and agreeing with it and supporting it and backing up. It's a total difference. There's the aspect of salvation, and the Mormon Church believes and really stands in a big way. I remember commercials growing up where you would see someone broken down on the side of the road and having a flat, and the guy's struggling to change it, and all of a sudden, two people pull over and help him change the flat, and what do you know? They're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
And it's that aspect of doing good works. There's nothing wrong with doing good things.
Right.
And we ought to be good to our fellow neighbor. God created us to do good works, but the fact of the matter is we're still sinners, lost, and nothing of what we can do can save us or to add to it or to help us in our salvation whatsoever.
Along the lines of the belief that the Book of Mormon is kind of extra scripture later on revealed, if you just kind of look at the whole of religions throughout history since the time of Jesus, there have actually been quite a few. Islam, in a sense, the Quran, I think it came out around 600 AD.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a verse in the Quran that actually says, follow the law, follow the gospel, like referencing the Old and the New Testament, but also do all this stuff that contradicts it.
Right.
And then, we even see kind of as crazy as the world is starting to get, I think there's a lot of people, seeking hope and looking to try and figure out the end times. And, that's a whole nother topic. But one thing I've been seeing pop up a lot recently in circles is the Book of Enoch. People are taking that Gnostic writing, which if you read it wholesale, it contradicts what the Bible says. But they're like, oh, the Book of Enoch, it kind of describes some of the things that I believe about the end times. Therefore, maybe we should make it scripture. And so really, the I've heard it said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They are in unity, they are in harmony, and no other religious text really meets that standard.
Galatians 1, and Paul made this very plain and clear in verse number 11. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that I beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And if you go back up to verse number 6, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he says this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than what than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so the Bible makes it very clear, Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that if someone preaches another gospel, another message of Jesus other than what we have in the Word of God, the Bible says, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
And we're to have nothing to do with those that would teach something else other than what is in the Bible that we've been given in Scriptures.
Right, right. And if I may just point out, historically, the story of the foundation of the Book of Mormon is, in fact, an angel of light revealing something to Joseph Smith. You know, take that for what you will, but I think the Bible, I think we were getting a warning kind of 1,800 years mm-hmm. beforehand mm-hmm. about a potential issue that the world was going to face. So.
Well, even we see in the last book of Revelation, the Bible tells us, you know, we're not to add or take away anything from the Word of God. Mm. And I've heard of that on different podcasts and even different videos, you know, someone bringing that verse to the attention of someone in the Mormon church. And they'll answer it, of course, with, well, we're not adding or taking away from the Bible. This is just an extra separate revelation of it. And that's an easy way to try to skirt that verse of Scripture, but when in fact they are holding the Book of Mormon above the Word of God and looking to that as the standard instead of what God says in His Word. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. And we want to personally invite you to one of our services in person here at the next appointed time. We meet for Sunday school at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. And then 11 o'clock, we have our morning worship service. And then 6 o'clock in the evening, we have our evening service. And we hope that this podcast has been a blessing to you. And I know there have been maybe some things that have said that maybe as you grew up you didn't understand, or maybe there's some things that you're questioning about what you've been raised with or taught with. The answer is not to leave God. The answer is not to run from God. The answer is to seek the truth. And this morning on Sounding Out the Word podcast, that is what we've tried to do, is give you truth directly from the Word of God about what God says about Himself and how He has revealed Himself. And we ask you, we beg you this morning, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ of the Bible as your only way of heaven, if you would simply bow your head and trust Him as your Savior right now by faith in His complete work on the cross, He'll save you, and He'll do exactly what He said He would do, and you will become a child of the King and have a home in heaven paid for by the blood of our sweet Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.